Welcome to A Slob Comes Clean, the podcast. I am Dana K. White. I share my personal deslobification process as I figure out ways to keep my own home under control. I share the truth about cleaning and organizing strategies that actually work in real life for real people. People who don't love cleaning and organizing. Thanks for joining me today. This is podcast number 416, and I am talking to Mike Willen Smith, who is the author of several books that you may have heard of before, such as Cozy Minimalist Home and all sorts of other things. But she has a new book coming out, and it's called House Rules. And I had Mike Willen on the last time she had a book come out. It's been a couple of years now. And it is one of those episodes that people refer to in talking to me again and again and again. So she is the queen of decorating. I mean, lots of people out there decorate. She is the queen. The way that she talks about it makes so much sense to me, and it makes so much sense to so many of you, right? Like in our Kindred Spirits group, somebody will say something and somebody will say, hey, have you heard the episode with Mike Willen Smith that Dana did talking about decorating? Because she thinks and speaks and explains things in a way that really makes sense to my brain. It's one of the reasons that she and I get along so well, is because she's always like, we look at things in similar ways. Okay. But she does the decorating and explains it in a way that actually makes sense to me. And that is just something I do not feel apt at, meaning I feel inept at a lot of times, but the way she says it, it makes sense. Okay. So this book is called House Rules. Don't be scared off by rules. We talked about that and how I feel about rules. They're all rules that are succinct and short and make you go, right? And then she explains, obviously, it's not just a list of rules. She explains things too. Anyway, so I just think you're going to love it. Some of the rules we're going to talk about: limitations lead to innovations. We talk a lot about limitations around here, right? Limits, containers being limits, and how freeing that is. She talks about that. Another rule: just because something costs less doesn't mean you're saving money. A lot of us around here struggle with excessive frugality, so that's a good conversation to have. Another rule: home exists to serve people, not the other way around. So see what I'm saying? You're going to love this conversation. I can't wait to hear from you how this helps you reframe how you think about decorating your home. So anyway, here you go. Here's my conversation with Mike Willen. Mike Willen, thanks for coming on.
Oh, Dana, I am so glad to be here. I always love talking with you. You're one of my favorite writers. I make sure to tell you that every time I see you, I hope. No, you are so talented. You're so funny, and you just get us.
Well, right back at you, because I just want to say, like, your podcast episode that we did, I think it was it Cozy Minimalist Home?
Probably yeah. So.
But that one, I would say, like, in my group, anytime somebody talks about decorating and stress, somebody brings that up. Like, it's the episode that people mention a lot. Like, thank you so much for having her on. So I do feel like we have a lot of, brain similarities,
yeah,
that translate well to each other's subjects. But for those who haven't listened to that other episode, tell us a little bit about who you are and what's your unique life situation.
Oh gosh. Well, my name is Mike Willen Smith. Got a Q in it. And when I started on the internet 20-ish years ago, I went by the Nester because I thought someone would come kill me. Of course, that's what the internet was back in the days.
Yes.
But I wanted to write about home mostly so I could leave comments on other people's blogs. And it's just turned into writing books and teaching classes. And I get to talk about my favorite topic in the world, which is home. My husband and I have been married almost 30 years. We are living in our 15th house. Wow. 4 of those we've owned and the rest we've rented. Sometimes we've just moved around a lot. So I have had lots of experience setting up a house really quick. I love decorating. I love beauty. I love stuff. I'm not good at maintaining a lot of stuff. Yeah. I think that's where our paths cross a lot. But I call myself a cozy minimalist and an imperfectionist. And I want to help people create the home they've always wanted that they're proud of so they can use it the way they've always dreamed and have people over and kind of forget about it.
Forgetting about it is the goal, right? Like I have realized probably in the last couple of years that what I was thinking I was working toward was not actually what I was working toward. Like I thought I was working toward a show place. And what I realized was I want a house that doesn't hold me back. Like I want to be able to do the things that I want to do and it not hold me, keep me from doing that, which I think a lot of my listeners, you know, are where I was with the intense stuff struggles. And it's like, I can't do the things I want to do because I'm constantly worried about my house. But you take this and you go with the decorating. Your new book is called House Rules. That's the name of your podcast too, right?
It is. Yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about rules because I am the person who loves and hates rules, right? Like if it's a rule that is arbitrary and I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. Why is that a rule? I will not follow it. But at the same time, helpful rules, you know, like my 5-step decluttering process, I'm like, oh yeah, thank you. I just need to know what to do. Please just tell me what to do. So explain what you mean by rules.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, I'm not a rule girl either. And especially, at least what you're talking about is like a step-by-step method. We're talking about decorating here, which is a creative process.
Yes.
But I believe that decorating is a skill that anyone can learn. And if you feel held back because you don't feel like your house represents your style or having a pretty house is important to you, and if it's not important to you, you're so lucky. Like, I'm envious of that person. But yeah. I think for a lot of us, like, we want a simple, beautiful home that we're not embarrassed of. None of us want a house that we're like, I want to make my sister-in-law feel horrible about her house and I want to show off. That is not my people at all. We just want to be able to not be embarrassed by our house and like the way that it looks. And so I do teach decorating, and it's helpful to have some guidelines, you know, just like when you're learning how to spell in school. They teach you I before E, except after C. And I used to be the worst speller. I actually still am. But there were some little rules like that, that even they still apply today. Whether I'm writing an Instagram post or a letter to my grandmother or filling out application, whatever it is, those universal rules still apply in my life. And it's the same way. Well, it's the same way with a lot of things, but it applies to decorating too. There are universal decorating truths that can help us just feel more confident in making decisions. Are we allowed to break them? By all means. The goal is for you to love and use your home. And if you want to break every single rule and do that, then you win. But if you feel like you want some guidance and you don't love your home and you feel like, well, I just wasn't born with a decorating gene. First of all, that's a big lie. No one was born with a decorating gene. I think just there are some people, probably like me, I started decorating with Barbies. So I learned some universal rules with Barbie furniture, and I had fun and I could break the rules and I didn't feel bad because I was so young. I didn't even realize I was learning rules at the time. And I think if you have people in your life, your mother-in-law, your next door neighbor, who you feel like they were born knowing how to do this, they weren't. They're just confident now because they learned the rules a long time ago. And honestly, they probably don't even know that they have the rules in their head. It's just subconscious. So I wrote a book that is telling you all those things that those people that seem like they were born with it, they are doing just automatically, but they actually can really help no matter what your style is or what kind of house you have, anything like that.
So what's your favorite rule? Like, what is the rule that you find yourself repeating in your own head as you're working on a space?
I think the rule that changed my house was, I don't know exactly how I say it, but it's the homey trinity. And for so long, I can remember, like, even my last house when we moved there, I would look around in my house. It was a fixer-upper. So we had stuff going on, and then we had moved to a smaller house and I had stuff. I'm one of those people that every time we moved, instead of saying, well, I'm going to be really good about getting rid of stuff. No.
Yes.
I'm like, I better save it because
you never know.
Yeah. I mean, we're like the just in case queens.
Yes.
And I clearly had a lot of trust issues. And if I would have followed my own logic, like if I'm so good at finding stuff, I should have trusted that I could find great deals in the future and find stuff. I had to work through all that. So what is the question I'm answering again? I already.
You said your Trinity.
Oh, the homie Trinity.
Yes. So the thing you repeat to yourself.
The rule I repeat to myself. I'm sitting in my new little fixer-upper and I'm surrounded by stuff. Like every surface, Dana, has beautiful little tchotchkes and meaningful mementos and gallery walls that are overflowing and things everywhere. And I can remember looking at my house, looking down at my computer at a Pinterest. I remember what photo it is, at a Pinterest photo, and thinking, why does that picture look so good? And why does my house look so chaotic and bad to me? Because the way my house looked, it was really, really important to me. And I wanted to figure it out. Like it was like this puzzle. And for whatever reason, I thought, I'm just going to count the things in this house on Pinterest. And I did. And she had like 34 items. And then I counted all the stuff in my house. And I had like 87 items. I had more than twice as much stuff. And then when I looked at the size of her stuff, it was, everything had a voice. Like a vase had presents and had flowers in it. Well, I had 10 little teeny tiny vases for $4 each, or I got it 50 cents all lined up. And so I realized like I was decorating with a bunch of tiny little things that didn't have visual presence. And the homes that I liked on Pinterest were using larger, quieter items that had visual presence, which to the normal human eye is read as style. And so the things that I noticed, there were three things I noticed that every room that I had on Pinterest that I pinned thinking that I liked had that my house didn't really have. Those were big rugs, a big rug. I had like these little tiny 5x8, 4x6 rugs, like Aladdin's rug that he was going to fly on. Like I couldn't even lay on them. They were actually visually kind of cutting up the room and making it feel smaller. And then they also had long window treatments. If they had window treatments that like didn't cover the window, they covered the wall, they were hung correctly. Now, some people had bright colors if they were into that. Some people had quiet colors and quiet textures depending on their style. But a lot of the houses that I had pinned had beautiful window treatments, which added the sense of coziness and softness to the space without filling the surfaces. And I thought, yes. Oh, this rug is not filling the surface, but it's adding a layer of softness and it's big. It's adding a layer of coziness and it's like soaking up. It's my room is not echoey. The drapes doing the same. I have two big windows. If I put drapes on them, I suddenly have softness in the room and I don't have to add 1,000 things to my surfaces. And then the last thing was the lighting. You know, I had like a ceiling fan with a light kit and one little leftover light that was like 12 inches next to a huge sectional. And I realized that every room that I pinned had layers of lamps and lighting. And the lamps, they weren't just functional. They got double duty out of them, those rascals. Their lamps were pretty. My lamps were just functional. And I didn't even care about the way they looked. I was like, well, I put a lamp there. Now I need to decorate the surface. But I realized if I got a pretty lamp, then I had a lamp that was both functional, turn it on. Now I can see it creates this cozy atmosphere, but the lamp base and, you know, I can invest in it and have this pretty thing in my house that I'm going to have anyway. So the lamps, the drapes, and the rugs changed my life because I suddenly was able to not load up my surface and put the burden on all my cute little tchotchkes to carry my style, and just had a few large, quiet, functional things that I could add my style in.
Did you apply your frugality to those things as well?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I did. Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, I don't know if you've ever bought a large rug, but sometimes they can be like $10,000.
Right.
You can also buy a large rug from Home Depot, a beautiful jute rug for $250. Just like everything in life, you can buy an expensive coffee. You can buy a less expensive coffee there. You can find the creamer and the sugars that you like. You know, it's the same with decorating. It is not just only for the wealthy. We all have access. If you have the internet, which you do, or else you would not be listening to this, have Facebook Marketplace, which is the most amazing place. I have bought two sofas in the past couple of years for $100 each. Best, most well-made sofas, like incredible. And so we have access. Now, it doesn't mean everything's going to be free. But with lamps, like I ended up at an antique mall and I found a beautiful lamp. I even brought it home and like took pictures side by side, like a little lamp that I found at TJ Maxx for $20. It was like see-through. It was so skinny, you could see through it. And sometimes you need that. But if you're making decisions to add visual style to your home, then you might want your lamp, for example, to have visual presence so you can have less stuff, but still feel like it represents your style, which was where I was at. So instead of relying on my tiny little lamp, I went to my local antique mall. I found a big, I'm looking at it right now. That's why I'm looking off to the side. I found a big, huge, beautiful, like shapely, rounded base lamp. And it was painted a weird color. So I just brought it home and spray painted it black. And it had this, hello, I am big and have beautiful presence. And it was all I needed on my surface. And it cost exactly the same as a new lamp from TJ Maxx.
I have to ask though, do you smell things before you buy it? She's laughing. It's not
like,
coming
do
through.
Do I literally sound, like, yeah, let me smell this lamp? Oh, you mean like secondhand?
Yes.
If
that is
I,
my big fear. My big fear is getting a rug that stinks.
Mm-hmm. I do not buy rugs secondhand. I think rugs are things that it's the dirtiest thing in your house because you're walking on it. You don't know if someone had animals. So I do not buy rugs secondhand. I buy a lot of my rugs from Rugs USA. If you get on their email list, they're going to send you a million coupons. You can buy rugs for a couple $100s. And my family is very hard on furniture and we're hard on rugs. We usually use them until they're embarrassing or threadbare. So I'm paying a couple $100s every couple of years. We also have a dog and two cats. My kids don't always take off their shoes. Like we're just hard on stuff. So I will buy case goods, which are like a wooden table or a wooden shelf all day long, secondhand, because you can just spray them down. Pine salt, they're going to smell great. Furniture, I'm much more picky about like soft furniture. I'm going to smell it. I'm going to look under it. If it's leather, I know I can wipe it down with a Clorox wipe. So yes and no, you do have to be a little bit picky.
Okay. Like, have you ever gotten there and said, no, thank you?
Yes. Oh, you have to. Oh yeah. There is no expectation that you, and now I wouldn't say this stinks. I would just be like, no, I don't think it's going to work. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. I've often thought about, not that we're encouraging people to like buy, but the reality is because I think what I'm hearing you say, and this is where I kind of am, is, you know, and this is one of the rules that I wanted to talk about was, you know, just because something costs less doesn't mean you're saving money. And that is one of those things. I did a video recently where I was talking about something that I had kept for 20 years because it was almost what I thought I would need.
Almost and is the worst.
Yes. Because it was like, oh, well, I mean, for a dollar, I'm going to get those dance shoes because they're a dollar. So that makes up for all of their other things that are not absolutely perfect. And then in reality, when I needed dance shoes, I had to go buy brand new ones anyway, because they weren't perfect. And so they hurt my feet. And, you know, so I think what I'm saying, you know, because I'm very cautious about, you know, I try not to be in free cycle groups and things. I know a lot of people love them for giving things away, but it's too tempting to me, like, because of my past of I'll take it, you know, so I don't do that anymore. But I also go, I have gotten my favorite recliner. Like I love it. And it's way nicer than any of the ones that I bought new, but I got it for $40 on Facebook Marketplace. So I know that there's value in that. But let's talk about the, just because something costs less doesn't mean you're saving money, because that is a struggle that I have, that I still find myself having to like have that conversation in my brain of, Dana, just because it's cheap, don't buy it. So what do you mean by that when you're talking about decorating?
Those of us who see potential, the curse of seeing potential in things,
which is a lovely quality that we have. right?
It's so good, but you have to know yourself and know when to say enough. 20 years ago, I didn't have a desk for my kid to do homework on. I didn't have enough chairs in my living room. So to be able to go to a thrift store and have an eye for potential and buy something was a lifesaver. The problem was I didn't know when to say enough. And so every time I was like trained myself, when I see a good deal, I buy it. If I have $5 in my pocket, it's mine. Look at me. I'm so smart collecting all this stuff forever, just in case. And I had to finally realize that my house was full. I had what I needed. So it depends on where you are in your journey. And if you need, do you need seating surfaces and storage? Well, then there are all kinds of great ways to find that. If money is one of your ways that you can pay right now, then maybe you can go online and just order whatever there is and not wait for a sale. If money is something that you're watching right now, well, maybe you're going to pay with your patience and going to yard sales every weekend and all of those things. But the rule that you're talking about, which is, remind me now, I don't have it.
Just because something costs less doesn't mean you're saving money.
For so long, my downfall is lamps and chairs. And so if I would see a chair for a great price, I would just think I have to have it. Someone can sit in it. It's so functional. I had a barn. You've been to my house. We had authors come. We need a chair. But I would collect so many that it got in my way. And finally, when we moved, I called friends and gave every single thing away and didn't reap, you know, nothing. And so the cost of it was sitting in my barn, getting set in once a year, and it didn't get to have its true life and purpose, which it should have been in someone else's house who needed to use it to sit in every day or when guests came over or something like that. And so I feel like I kind of wasted things because I was collecting them because they were a good deal. And I regret that.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I am so excited about my new digital picture frame from Aura. It is beautiful and it solves clutter problems. One frame that rotates, so it lets me display lots of photos. There's a new photo every 10 minutes. I am seriously delighted every time I walk by my beautiful Aura frame. Mom, I hope you're not listening because you are also getting an Aura frame for Mother's Day. I am going to customize the gift by preloading photos onto the frame. There's a super simple app that I can share with the whole family so they can add photos to my mom's frame too, anytime from wherever they are around the globe. I used the Aura app and I had everything set up for my frame in 2 minutes. You can upload an unlimited number of photos, invite others to share photos directly to your frame with no fees or memberships. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code CLEAN at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, and I think the barn, so you're talking about your previous home. Mm-hmm. You had a barn. It was beautiful. Yeah. It was obviously, you know, lovely and decorated and all that. But the barn, the idea of the barn for someone like me and, you know, how you've struggled with as well of, well, then I can take everything. I can have everything. I mean, we live on acreage now and I am so glad that I'm in a different place than mm-hmm. I was 20 years ago, because I remember when I was in my garage sale obsession thinking, if I just had some land, I wouldn't have to pass up anything.
Yeah.
And that was even at a time where I was bringing stuff into my home with no consideration for how much space it was going to take up. But well, and then there's the cleaning of it. Like I did think, I was like, how much did you have to clean out in the barn to be ready for the once a year? Right.
Yeah. Oh, it was a full job. I mean, I had to hire like a cleaning crew to come, yes, and then we had to clean furniture. It's a mess in the barn. Like there are mice out there and spider. Yes. It was a whole thing. And I think actually one of the best things for me was the fact that I didn't try when we moved to sell things, because of the, then I would recoup. It needed to hurt. It, yes, needed to be like,
yes,
you're getting nothing out of this. We're going to give it away, because that person that has a barn full of empty furniture, I want to only have what I need. And so one way to train myself to do that is to make it hurt, meaning give it away for free when I have things I don't use. I tell myself that here in this house a lot, as a, you know, when you move, you are evaluating if the things that you have in your home, even if they worked in your last home, are they right? When they're not, I give them away because I want it to hurt. I don't want to be in the thrift store and be like, well, if it doesn't work, I'll just sell it on Facebook Marketplace. I don't want that to be my part-time job.
And it is a part-time job. I look at that, yeah, too, as I'm like, when I'm thinking about bringing something to my house, I'm like, how big of a hassle would this be to, mm-hmm, get rid of it? There is a recliner. I have an obsession with recliners. You know, because I know you have adult sons, right? And, yeah, there comes a stage where everybody wants to lounge. And anyway, so I have this obsession with recliners. And I learned the hard way to stop buying used recliners, because people sell recliners when they don't work anymore. Oh. And yes. And so I bought this one that was probably the most expensive one I could ever, you know, have had. But it is a piece of junk. You know, like, it, and so it's never, like, we had it in our living room for a very short period of time. And my kids said, Mom, can we not use this anymore? Well, it's huge and it's broken. And so getting rid of it, I'm not going to do that to somebody else. I'm not going to trick them into, you know, coming and then feeling bad about saying, no, thank you. We were just talking about, you know, like coming. I know. Anyway, but I'm like, it is this huge thing, and I'm excited because we're having our bathroom remodeled and there is the dumpster for them to put all the stuff in. And I'm like, can I throw a recliner in there? You know what? I might throw two recliners in there now, you know, because it's a hassle. It's a huge hassle to get rid of things. So I like what you're saying. I'm always like, the best way to keep from bringing stuff into your house is to declutter, so that you start to identify, you know what? I just got rid of something like that and it was not fun.
It was trouble. Yeah.
Yes.
Same. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. Let's talk about some of your other rules, which I think are very freeing. So, I mean, this one is probably my favorite, and I'm sure, okay, you can guess, but it's limitations lead to innovations.
Yes. I love that one. You know, I think for so long, at least for me, I kept waiting for my next house. Like, oh, when we get to my next house, I'm gonna make that house look really good. Or I'm gonna, you know, make my boys' rooms look amazing. I'm gonna really love it. But we were renting for a lot of my kids' childhood, like early elementary age. It was like rental after rental. And what I found was I kept waiting while their childhood was passing. And I did not want their memories of their childhood home to be swatches of paint on the wall, mom complaining and waiting on the next house and not having any art in their bedrooms because, well, this is not our house. We're always waiting. So I decided I can either see the limitations as something to hold me back, or I can springboard off of that. And honestly, I think, and I know now, that having limitations, like as a renter, for example, we couldn't paint. Like there are things that you can't do. But what that does is it makes you focus on the things that you can do. Like I can't paint the wall, but instead we could paint your bed red and we could get a really cool rug and we can get a big wall. You know, my kids were into NASCAR. We get a big NASCAR thing and put on the wall. And so it makes you get creative in the ways you can do to kind of compensate. And I will tell you, I feel like my best creative solutions in my home all came because I was faced with a limitation. And even if you want to go even like as far as like high-end design, or if you're looking through, you know, Better Homes and Gardens magazine and you see they're featuring like this cute little corner in the kitchen and it has an odd angle. I guarantee you almost every little thing that they are honing in on and featuring started out as a limitation for the person that lived in that house. And they were like, ah, this is so annoying. What am I going to do with this corner? But instead of ignoring it or just cursing it, they decided to get creative with it. And the limitations are often the thing that turn into like our favorite little spots in the house. I say limitations lead to innovations because they totally do. If we decide, I'm going to make this work, I'm going to face it head on. What can I do with this weird spot to make it serve our family?
What's your favorite spot that you've done that in?
Let's see. Well, I mean, I'm sitting in my office right now, but it doubles as a guest room, which is a big limitation for me. I don't want a bed in my office because then I want to take naps all the time. So I had to think about how can I have a bed in my office without it looking like a bedroom? And the bed is behind me and I'm like talking to Dana K. White with a bed behind me. I don't want to look like a weirdo. So
but it doesn't look like a bed.
I'm so glad. That's because I got a day bed. And so I try to make it look like a sofa. So I had to get creative with that. Well, if I have to have a bed in my office, what can I do? And so it led down this road. And now I really love this day bed that I have because it feels like a sofa. And even though it's not my ideal, I like it's behind me. Like I like that it's on camera. It became like the soft place to land. And sometimes it is fun to take a nap in your office.
Yes. Yes. I have a couch that turns into a bed in my office. Yeah.
Okay.
Just in many case. Are the
same. You got to have it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Do. Okay. Talk about the rule home exists to serve people, not the other way around. And I think I always say my people, because this is my own process. This is how I normally think too, but you know, I gathered all my stuff because I wanted to do great things and be a great host. And then that stuff prevented me from being a great host because it was always out of control and I wasn't able to have people over. And so I call it my container concept, and people deserve space first. Like that is the number one thing. And I have to remind myself of that. So on a decorating angle with that, you know, talk about that. Home exists to serve people, not the other way around.
I think it's the other side of the coin for my people to think like that, of you saying, listen, if you collect so much because you love people so much, and then you can't even have them over because all your collection is in their way, then you're not doing the main thing your house is for. It's the same thing with decorating. We can see these aspirational rooms and feel like, well, I'm going to get that beautiful white sofa. And then I'm going to get, you know, it's the whole story about our mothers and the vacuum lines and the never wanting to mess it up. Like whatever direction we take it, if we go so far down that rabbit trail, whatever it is, that we're not actually using our home for what it's for, we've defeated the whole purpose. And our homes are to be used and to be enjoyed. Like, you know, in my case, sometimes it has to do, people will be like, well, I don't get to throw pillows because my husband sleeps on it and then it'll get flattened. Well, okay. First of all, that's what throw pillows are for. They're meant to be used. Like God created a throw pillow on the eighth day so that a throw pillow could be taken a nap on. It's not the throw pillow's fault. You're buying the wrong throw pillow. So let's think about if home is supposed to be is serve us, not the other way around, you don't have to stand over your throw pillows protecting them. If you find yourself doing that, you need to say, whoa, whoa, why am I protecting my throw pillows? Oh, I'm protecting it because it's made of teddy bear fluff. And when my husband lays down and takes a nap on teddy bear fluff, 20 minutes later, my pillow is ruined because I bought it at Target and it's stuffed with stuffing that's not actually meant to be used. Home is meant to be used. Your pillows should be used. No problem. All you need to do is when next time you buy a pillow, you want to make sure that you buy one where you can unzip the cover. First of all, that way if someone barfs on it or throws, you know, spills pizza or wine. Yeah, drool, dog laying out, you can wash it. But secondly, you want to be able to remove it and see what's inside. And if it has teddy bear fluff, that's okay. But I don't want you to use that. Just go on Amazon, go to your local thrift store if you want. If that doesn't bother you, you can buy feather inserts on Amazon or secondhand or at TJ Maxx. You can wash them on the high heat, the sanitary in your washer, if you are worried about that. But you want to get a feather insert because, or a down alternative if you have allergies. That feather insert, you could run over it with a car and it will fluff back up because it is created to be used. The things in our home are meant to be used. If you find yourself watching over things and babysitting things, that means maybe you are not matched up with the right stuff and you just need to change that a little bit.
Well, and that makes me think about that, just because something costs less doesn't mean you're saving money. So the frustration is an actual value, you know, or a lack of value of this item. For it to be usable and not stress you out, that's worth paying more for the down or the down alternative that would actually be functional.
Absolutely. Yeah. So even if you have to order a $20, I just paid $20 for this pillow at Target. That's okay. Let's get you that pillow insert, the right size. Now, a decorator trick is you get it like an inch or two bigger, so it's super fluffy. What having a super fluffy pillow does, Dana, too, is it fills up more room on your sofa, so you need less pillows if you like that full look. And so there's all kinds of little decorating tricks like that. If you're like, oh, I find myself like having 10 pillows on my sofa, oftentimes we just don't have the right size. And so that's another way to kind of save money, have less stuff, is just kind of scale up a little bit. So it's a really good, like, as a cozy minimalist, it's a trick that I use a lot, is just I'll get something a little bit larger. That way I only need one and it fills up the space. And it also is super functional and pretty.
Well, and it, one thing is not going to fall into disarray the way that five things arranged very specifically together are going to fall into disarray.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, let's talk about this one. This one's a little bit hurtful.
Uh-oh.
Not hurtful. I feel it. I feel like, okay. And I feel like my people are going to feel that way too. So, but I trust you.
Okay.
To talk about it. And that is, if it sits out, it's a decoration.
Yes. Now, again, the goal is for everyone to love their home.
Right.
If you love, you get to decide what you love and what you don't love. However, this is made in the spirit of, I would, and still am a lot of times, the person who has all of my stuff to go to the Goodwill sitting by my back door for 3 weeks. I have my library books to return also sitting on the surface for 3 weeks. I have my mail on display 365 days a year that needs to be open. I have the Dawn dish soap out. I have my green sponge out. I have the mugs with all the labels on them that we got for free all out. Suddenly my house feels chaotic. I'm bombarded with stuff. Now, I also took a great time to pick out the perfect shade for my kitchen of paint and to pick out my dinnerware and to pick out a faucet I loved. But instead of enjoying that, my bright blue Dawn dish soap in the big jug is sitting out and my Kleenex with whatever the Kleenex people decided was on the outside of that is now sitting out. And so it is having just as much of a visual impact as the paint that I chose, as the rug that I put down, all of my Goodwill stuff sitting out, every emblem on every mug that is sitting out. We don't get to say what adds to the visual look of our home and what doesn't. If it sits out, it is contributing to the visual look of our home.
Okay. acknowledging the fact is what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Acknowledging the fact that I don't like this, the way this space looks. And it is in my mind, because I'm the one who picked the paint color and picked the dishes and picked the faucet color. I'm like, this is what it's supposed to look like. And it's not looking like that. You know, that's like, I often think about, what did I envision when I walked into this house?
Yeah.
And there was nothing in it. And I envisioned how it was going to look and how we were going to function here. And now it doesn't match up to that vision. Mm-hmm. Acknowledging what is it that's out here that I'm seeing, even though I don't register that I'm seeing it.
Yes. This house rule book, it's not a spanking. It's a troubleshooting book. If you are frustrated with a room in your house and you can't figure out why, then you can turn to house rules and you can learn that everything that sits out in my home is a decoration. Oh, I have 50 things sitting out in my kitchen that I never intended to contribute to the look of my kitchen, but they're sitting out 365 days a year. I am decorating with cereal boxes. I'm decorating with the mail. And so it's a different way to think. Yes. It's not, I'm not blaming someone. I'm saying, if you're frustrated with the way it looks, you have to acknowledge that everything that sits out is contributing. Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like that. Yeah. That's a great mindset shift there. And then let's talk about paint later, because so one of my big jokes that is not a joke because it's real, you know, is the, you know, when you're trying to get your house ready for guests and there's stuff sitting out everywhere and there's all these different things to deal with, for some reason, a lot of us go, well, I actually need to paint the ceiling of the laundry room. I mean, like that is here's the thing. Like there's all these memes out there of like, you know, we've got guests coming in an hour and my husband is, you know, out in the forest with the, I want to call it the hairdryer, but it's the, whatever those things are, right?
Clippers?
Yeah. Or something, you know, he's out there doing that they're never going to see. And I'm like, Right. Yeah, but that's me. I'm the husband in that scenario. Like I have to really talk myself through not doing the thing that doesn't matter. And So like paint, you know, you just talked about like, what are the three things that you should focus on is the rug and the curtains and the
lighting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You didn't mention paint, but in my mind, paint is first. So talk about paint later. And
in everyone's mind, paint is first. We have been trained. I don't know who taught us that, but someone did, and they are wrong. We don't paint. Okay. Think about it. A can of paint is like $50 and a weekend. Now you have to remember, I'm a decorating teacher. I teach a method of decorating that we work room by room, just like your order when you declutter. There is a correct order to make decisions in decorating that will have you making less returns, less tears, all of that thing. Doesn't mean you, if you paint first, you're doomed, but there is an ideal order. The first thing is you get your seating, your surfaces, and your storage in a room. Most of us have that. Like a lot of us have a sofa and storage and, you know, surfaces that we need. Then we do the homey trinity, the rugs, the drapes, and the lighting. What happens is when we get to that point, our room is like 75% done already and we're shocked and it feels cozy and it's super functional. And we have prioritized the order of decor is also, if you do need to purchase something new, that's the order of, you know, if you need a sofa and you need a lamp, you're going to work in the order. Well, you're going to spend your money on the sofa first, then the lamp, because the lamp is a further down in the hierarchy of steps. Paint comes later because paint is cheaper. If you need a new sofa, it is going to be a lot harder to buy a sofa to go with your walls than it is to buy a can of paint to go with your sofa. So we don't want to give the hierarchy of decor to a can of paint. Have you seen how many paint colors there are? 10 bazillion.
Overwhelming amount.
Yes, too many colors. So we want to make it actually makes your decision making easier if you get yourself, you get the most expensive piece in the room first. Even if you're buying it secondhand, you know, you're not going to have 3,000 sofas to choose from. You're going to have like a couple, and you don't know if you want a beige sofa, it still might have a gold undertone or a green undertone or a blue undertone. And so that will change how your paint color looks. So we want to save the paint color and get all these other things in first and then say, okay, I wanted a green and I still want a green paint color, but since my sofa has a blue undertone and, you know, my drapes have like a white undertone, I'm going to get a green with maybe not a yellow undertone. So it can help you specifically pick that right paint color. When you pick the paint color first, it's like choosing your earrings first and then trying to find jeans and shoes and a shirt. Like, that's out of order. We're not going to give the boss priority to this little can of paint.
That is so brilliant.
Why, thank you.
So how do you pick your paint? Like, let's say I'm asking this totally just as a professional recording, but also I need to go pick my paint right now. So for my bedroom that hopefully they'll be painting in the next couple of days. Like, I love my bed. I love my side tables. I love my headboard. Okay. I pretty much love everything.
Okay. Do you need a rug in the room, or are you going to
get a
rug?
There is a rug in the room. There, perfect. I will continue with the same rug.
Anna, yes. You've done everything right. Do you need window treatments in the room? Soft window treatments?
Yes, I do.
I would suggest you get those before you choose your paint. You might have to tell your painters to wait. You're not going to like me. But I would do those for, unless you're going to get like the most neutral white or khaki, I think you'll be okay. But if you're going to pick something with a color, it is easier. Again, your window treatments will cost more than the paint. So that's how I would do it. That's how I teach my students to do it. So I would get those window treatments in, and then I would pick my paint color. You probably already know what color-ish you want the room. What color-ish do you want it?
Blue.
Okay, you want a blue. So then, and you probably already have a bunch of swatches of little pieces of paper, of blue paint.
Yes.
And you probably have a couple that you feel like are feeling right.
Yes.
So the next thing, which you might have already done, is to get actual samples.
Yes, I have four big samples on my wall, and I've picked the one for the bathroom, and then okay. I want, in my mind, and you tell me if I'm wrong, in my mind, I want down, like I had one that was lighter than the bathroom that I was thinking about for the bedroom, but I want it to be even lighter. Like, it's what's on the wall is
I don't think there's a right or wrong. I think if you're like, oh, I would like a dark color in the bathroom, but I want my bedroom to be lighter, that is fine. I think you just have to know what it is you're after. I really like to see examples on Pinterest. It doesn't have to be the exact color, because on photos, it's not going to show up anyway. But I like to see, like, if I have a dark bed, then I want to see a couple rooms that are painted in a color that feels like what I'm after, that also has furniture in similar colors to mine. So I can see like, oh, that works together. But then I do exactly what you do once I have it narrowed down, and I'm going to paint different colors, because I have had to use a different color in the bathroom than in my bedroom to get them to look the same, because my bedroom might have a southern exposure and it gets this fresh, clean, beautiful light. And my bathroom has a western exposure that gets only warm, weird light. Do you know what I mean? So you do want to experience the paint in each room, and it's so it doesn't have to match perfectly. It's if it feels like it looks like the color that you want. So I think you're doing everything right. Maria Killam is a color expert. I really like, I mean, that's all she does. And she has some great tips. And one of hers is to always put a white, something like white poster board or a big white sheet of paper next to the color that you're choosing, so you can see its true value. You can see, oh, this is a blue with a yellow undertone, or this is a blue with a violet or a red or whatever it is. That can help too, especially if you know that maybe you have yellow and blue in your rug. Well, then you might want a blue with a warmer undertone. It's all helpful information.
That is very helpful. Thank you.
Well, you're doing everything in the right order. I'm so impressed, but I'm not surprised.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. But now I'm like, oh, do I have to get the...
It depends on what kind of window treatments do you want? Do you want drapes?
So we moved into our house 2.5 years ago, and I don't have window treatments. I will have to next year, because we'll be empty nesters and we'll want to walk around naked, you know, but... For now, what?
I said, of course.
Of course. That's how it is, right? But for now, I don't have them, because our view is so amazing that, and we don't have neighbors across the street or behind. And so I love, like, I just love it. Like, it doesn't, because I'm also the person who forgets to open curtains.
Right.
And so I like having them open. But our bedroom, it's just one window. It's actually a small window. It goes out onto the patio, and then there's a pool back there. And so we have teenagers who are over there, and I'm like, we have to have, you know, something on our bedroom.
You need something for privacy, which does not have to be, there are two types of window treatments, functional. That means that if you don't want to see yourself walking around naked, if you're outside or the light is shining in, you want privacy, you want light control, but there's also just decorative window treatments. I do believe that it's more important if you're doing only decorative window treatments to do those before your paint, but it sounds like you are more in the functional, like you might do blinds, you might do shutters, you might do shades. Sometimes those are made of hard materials like wood or painted wood or something. That's going to be 1,000 times easier to do if you've already paint. I mean, I still like to do that before I paint, but right, that's not as hard as picking up a soft fabric, okay, which is not required just for your functional window treatment. You could still, you know, one of the house rules, Dana, is drapes cover the wall, not the window. The Homey Trinity, your soft drapes, they're not going to, if you hang them right, you get every drop of your view because they're hanging. It's just like hair. They're on the side of right, your face.
That, and that's what I know I need to do out okay, in my living room. Yeah.
And I do think that would be great. I would ideally in a perfect world, pick them out before your paint, but it's okay. You just, you don't have to, you can get them later, but I would go ahead and start thinking about yeah, that.
No, I that's very, very helpful. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us about, is there anything that you were hoping I was going to ask you?
No, I could talk to you all the time about this. I think it's so fun the way, I love the way your brain works and I just love this conversation. Thank you.
So tell us, where people can find you and all the things that you do, all that. And the book.
Oh, yes. Oh, I just talk about home all the time at thenester.com. I'm on Instagram at thenester. I have a podcast called House Rules. I teach in a private community every single Tuesday. I've got books and my new book, House Rules, releases April 23rd. I'm so excited about it.
I don't envy the book release, though.
I know.
We talked about that when we first got on. It was like, okay, it's fun. It's really fun. But it's also just so exhausting.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
It's worth it, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
this makes it fun. So it thank does, you.
Didn't y'all love that conversation with Maiqueline? I don't know that I actually referred in the beginning to the fact that she's the nester. You may have heard of her as the nester before. Probably should have said that before. I'm sure we talked about it in the podcast. But if you would like to grab her book, go look for it, House Rules, wherever you like to buy books, any place. It just came out on Tuesday. Today's Thursday as you're hearing this, if you're listening to it in real time. And it's out there. It's ready for you to go and grab it. I think you're going to love it. All right. I will talk to y'all next week. Bye.